promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
And now, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, you're listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning. If you'd like to take part in the show today, please dial 323-203-0815. And now, here are your program hosts, Sam and Steph, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, October 19th. We're back in the studio live on an overcast morning in Los Angeles.
It is. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, at least it's going to get a little cooler, which I don't mind at all.
Yeah, it's officially fall, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the days are getting shorter, which I'm not happy about.
I know, it gets dark so early.
I know, and it makes the evening so long, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to find things to do when
yeah.
when you can't be outside. You know?
I know.
Do you prefer summer or winter?
Oh, without a doubt, summer.
Really?
Summer, spring. You know,
yeah.
Fall I don't mind as well because it's not super cold. But
right.
the second it gets super cold or there's snow, which fortunately we don't have to worry about that here.
Exactly.
But in New York, it's dreadful.
Yeah, I know. Our winters are very mild here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we get lucky if it gets rain, you know, if it rains a day or two during the winter because it doesn't rain that mm-hmm. much here, you know.
But I am looking forward to the next few months. I mean, I know it's going to get chillier, but, you know, we've got Thanksgiving and Christmas to look forward to.
That's true. I know. I like the season. I get really excited.
I don't know. It's just so jolly.
I know. You're starting to feel it already. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is it? Mid-October?
Yeah.
So it's really cool. You said you may not go to a Halloween party. I mean, are you going to go or not?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Halloween is normally not my holiday. You know what I mean? I'll pass out trick-or-treat things and maybe meet up with a friend or two, but I never go out crazy and dress up.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling it this year.
Yeah, well, maybe you should, you know?
It. Yeah. I think I'm going to.
Are you?
Yeah. For me, it's like such a task that I have to really think about what I'm going to dress up as.
I know.
Because I haven't done this in years.
Yeah.
But I feel like I need to do it at least once because, you know, in all these people in their 20s and even 30s, 40s, people dress up all the time.
That's true.
And I think I just need to do it.
Do it. We'll have to decide for you what you're going to wear. You know, maybe we can discuss
yeah.
it here. You can tell us where, what you are leaning towards.
Right.
You know?
I've been getting so many, comments from people or feedback, but they're all boring. You know, like, be a witch, be a cat. No, I want something unique. I want something original.
Usually people wear something that's like an alter ego or something or something they want to be, do you think?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, they may be funny, you know, just something to be funny.
I was thinking, this is my one random idea, and it's just kind of weird, but, you know, I like painting and I like artwork, so I thought I could be just a walking piece of art and I can literally paint just artwork. This is going to be very time consuming though.
Yes.
But have my whole body covered as if I'm a painting so I can walk around. But when people, you know, ask, what are you? I'll just kind of freeze into a statue at a museum.
And pose.
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So what, are you going to wear a bikini when you do that? Or?
Hell no. No, no.
So how are people going to see the painting and the body?
That's a good question. I haven't thought that deep into it. I will be fully covered in clothes. Well, like short sleeved, you know, arms.
Right.
And have my arms painted completely and my face painted.
Right.
And maybe like a skirt. Mm-hmm. I can't do the whole slutty Halloween thing. Like,
yeah,
that just,
no,
it's
you don't
not
want to
me.
Do that. Yeah. And besides, it's going to be cold, you know?
Right.
You don't want to walk around in a bikini at a party.
Right, exactly. We'll see. Time will tell, Sam.
Yeah,
time will tell.
We'll see. So today, Steph, we're going to have a guest from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And she has written a book called The Girlfriend Experience. And we're going to find out exactly what that is. She's a, I don't know if she's a former escort or... she said that she's a former escort, so
Interesting.
She's written a book, and it sounded pretty good. I started reading it. You know, it's kind of sexy and stuff. But we'll find out from her what it's all about.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. I want to know what an escort actually, their responsibilities are. Because, you know, people assume that it's still kind of like they compare it to a prostitute or, you know, whatever it may be. So I'm definitely curious to talk to her.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I equated that with a prostitute. I don't know how many men, but apparently, you know, reading in the book, apparently some men just want companionship, you know?
Yeah.
So I know, poor
men,
right?
I just feel so awkward,
I know.
You know?
Yeah. I know. Well, you're not a man. You don't know what it feels like.
Well,
you know?
No, as the girl.
Oh, as the girl.
As an escort,
yeah. It's kind of creepy, huh?
It's different, but, you know, I don't judge. I would try anything once. There was a time, like, when I was first in New York, where I was seriously considering, I'm like, man, if me and a friend actually, you know, agreed and we did this together, maybe we could just be strippers. I'm serious. Like, it crossed my mind.
Really?
I remember talking to my roommate about it, saying, would you do it if we did this together?
Yeah. It would make you feel cheap. I don't know.
We never did it. Yeah. I could never. I mean, I can talk about it, but never in a million years could I have done that.
No, I think most of them are drugged and, you know, maybe not a great childhood and stuff. I can't imagine why someone, I mean, it is easy money, you know, but, and maybe I'm making a generalization, but I think when you look at those dancers, they're kind of rough, you know, mm-hmm. they're not someone you'd want to date, you know?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, I went to a strip club for the first time this past year, just a few months ago, because a friend of mine is like a, what do you call it? Just like, he's a, I don't know, one of the guards, security guards, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
So I thought, you know, I just want to go. I've never been to one. I wanted to see what it was like.
Right.
Because we all have reasons for what we do. And I wanted to, like, talk to these strippers and just see from, you know.
Really?
And they all seem very friendly. Uh-huh. You know, this particular strip club that I went to, which I can't even remember the name of it at the moment. But, you know, they were actually very classy. You know,
oh, really?
it was different than what I expected. So I don't judge, but it's very ballsy to be able to go on a stage butt naked and rub your ass in a guy's face.
I know. Ooh. Especially when they're totally nude, you know.
I mean,
they do some things that are I've never gotten a lap dance. I've only been to a strip club, I think once or twice when I was in Vegas and with a bunch of friends, and I don't remember getting a lap dance, you know. I don't remember
because you're drunk.
No, because I never drink that much. No, but I thought, I don't know. I felt weird about it.
Yeah.
Being in a small room with another woman and just kind
of,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
My mind would be stirring the whole time. I wouldn't be able to enjoy it and relax.
I know.
Thinking, oh my God, what am I doing? Oh my God. You know?
I know. And besides, you know, you go to strip clubs or, you know, watching porn and stuff, that only turns you on. It doesn't really get you off, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I don't get it why you'd want to go and get turned on.
Do they really get paid that much too, though? Like, I mean, I'm sure, like, in Vegas,
it's
different. Okay.
Yeah, the tips.
I mean, I've heard numbers of how much, you know, strippers get, and it was not enough for me to even think about it.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, no, I've read a couple books by former porn star Tara Patrick and also Jenna Jameson. They both had written books about being in porn, and I guess they all pretty much start, not all, okay, but many of them start stripping, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how they start.
Yeah.
And they claim they make a lot of money.
Hmm.
A lot of money.
Well,
so,
of course, yeah. And once you start stripping too, it's like you become so comfortable with that, you know, porn is just another kind of step up in a way of, like, exploitation.
Right.
So
not all of them go on to porn, but, you know, some of them do.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's even more money. And I think they already feel they've crossed the line, you know.
Yeah. What have I got to lose?
The Netherlands there, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, stripping is something that you really want to think hard about, you know. But, you know, sometimes I think of all these hookers and stuff that, like, I guess advertise on Craigslist and things like that. And wondering, I mean, who are these people? You know, they might have, like, family and friends that don't even know they're doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like so weird.
It's really risky and dangerous too, though. I mean, you don't know what, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, men are stronger than us.
Right.
And, you know, to to just go to a random guy's house right. or have a random guy come to where you live,
right.
it's dangerous. You don't know what's going on in his head either. I mean,
right. And besides, you don't know it's only going to be one. What if he brings another person yeah. with him? You're totally powerless.
Very
then.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. I do not recommend it. No matter how desperate you are for money,
yeah.
think of another way to make money.
I guess the money is good, you know?
Apparently.
They do that.
For anybody to do that, yeah, I don't know. You have to be pretty desperate in my book.
Yeah, because I hear, you know, some college girls will do that, you know, just to get through school. Yeah.
Well, that was That's around the not... age that it crossed my mind, you know? But we're talking, like, for a second, split second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It sounds like easy money for a woman.
Yeah, but I think if you're that low on money, mm-hmm. you should be able to lean upon a friend or a relative, you know? And
yeah. But you see, once they get into it, just imagine, let's say you got into it and you get like, I don't know, a couple $1,000s per scene or something in porn, you know? And then you think the alternative is to work a 9-to-5, you know, make $10 an hour or something,
right.
you know?
There's no doubt money is an addiction. You know, once you see a certain amount of money or a large paycheck, you know, it's really hard for you to work for less than that.
Yeah,
and I've noticed that
tempting.
Too, you know, just with acting jobs that, you know, you... But at the same time, you have to have morals and, you know, and respect for yourself,
yeah.
respect for your own body. So
yeah, you got to have some values. Otherwise, you know, you're just garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to be hosting or kind of, I guess I'm a guest on a friend's radio show tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, tune in. It's at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard.
You're going to promote a competing station now? Is that what
Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay.
No, I'm promoting my acting. It's just this Wednesday night. It's tonight.
Okay.
It's this Wednesday night. It's just tonight. Uh-huh. It's called Acting Up, and it's with Skylar Celeb and Steve Moulton.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Sounds good. So what are you going to do there? You just a guest, co-host?
I guess I'm a guest. I'm just going to be goofy, and I don't know. They're going to ask me questions about my acting career, at which time I will have nothing to say because
yeah.
it's like been...
Do you know them? Did you know them before this?
Or? I worked with Skylar on a commercial.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Months and months ago.
Uh-huh.
And he's been trying to get me on here for a while, mm-hmm. and it's hard because Wednesday nights just aren't usually good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight I'm going to go on it. So
okay.
Acting Up Show. .com Adrenaline Radio. I'll post it on my Facebook.
Okay.
But 9 o'clock tonight. That should
yeah.
be fun if you
notice
can.
I don't mind you plug in competing stations because they're
is
all
it a competing station?
It is, but they're all garbage next to us.
Oh. Oh my god, that's so mean.
It's true
though.
I mean, have you been on their website? Go on their website and compare it to ours, you know?
Have you been on their website?
I have. I know all the competition. Yeah.
Wow, really?
But, yeah.
Oh, you're a feisty little one, Sam. See, here's the thing, though. Like, I never understood this whole competition thing because as an actor, you know, there are many females, good-looking girls that, you know, I would be up for roles with. But at the end of the day, like, you're competing against yourself. You know, these, I support everybody else. I don't consider them my competitors because, you know, we all help each other out.
Right.
And you kind of can't control who's going to get the job or
right.
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, but that's acting. I don't know how it
yeah,
is for radio.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like it's a threat or anything. It's far from it.
Right.
But, you know, I guess when someone's doing the same thing you are and,
sure.
you know, they're competition.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But just make sure you plug our show.
Oh, I definitely will. Oh, I will definitely.
Do cross promotion.
No, I will. I'm a guest on that show, mind you. I accidentally said co-hosting or whatever, but no.
Yeah.
I host this show with you.
Okay.
But I'm a guest on that one.
Okay.
So that should
Have
be
you
fun.
Been to the studios yet?
Not at all. Not
okay.
at all. So
then you compare that to...
Oh, my God. So much juice. We don't have a show tomorrow, but Friday, I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Crack me up. Brilliant. This
yeah.
whole talk radio thing is so much fun, though. I have to tell you. Like,
you enjoying
I mean,
it?
Yeah, I've only been, what, here for like 3-4 weeks now?
Uh-huh.
Maybe 4 weeks?
Yeah.
It's a blast.
Yeah, it's really cool, you know,
it
because
is.
You get to... get out there and let people know what you think and all that stuff. And it's fun. You know, you just sit down and say nothing.
You chit chat, you yeah. just talk, and hopefully it's worth listening to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's not, screw you.
Exactly. Don't listen.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to call Rebecca now. It's Rebecca Dakin, I believe, the D-A-K-I-N. That's how I would pronounce it.
Yeah.
So let's call Dakin. Rebecca right now, and we'll find out about the girlfriend experience. I'm calling her on Skype, by the way, so she's
oh,
going to
no
sound
way.
Very close here.
So yeah. does that mean you're going to see her, too?
No,
Oh, okay.
Not interested in video.
Okay. I was about to say, that's kind of awkward, right?
Yeah.
Hosting a radio show and then, like, seeing her there
yeah,
from
I know.
England or wherever she is, London.
Yeah. And she's not answering.
The suspense is killing me.
What's that?
The suspense is killing
really?
Me. I'm so excited.
Have you been to England at all?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I would love to go to London.
Yeah, it's really cool in London.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there last year, but I was on the way to Israel. So I stopped there for a couple of days, and I thought I'd have fun, you know. So I mm-hmm. did. I took a couple of tours around town and all that. But you know what? I realized, you know, I don't enjoy traveling alone. You know, mm-hmm. I used to.
Why did you go alone?
Because I was just flying to visit my parents in Israel. You
oh,
know, it
okay.
wasn't, yeah, so this was just a stopover.
I see.
Yeah. And it's just not fun.
No, you want to have somebody with you.
Foreign country, yeah.
Yeah. You want to share that experience with someone, you know?
Yeah, you definitely do, you know? And she's not answering. I'm just going to let it keep ringing.
Okay, well, maybe in 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
I know that I am famous for being late sometimes.
Really?
So.
But she's written us a message a little earlier this morning, so I know she's expecting us.
Good, good.
Well, we'll just let it keep ringing. At least it doesn't make a sound, so
yeah.
that's good. You know, it's
she's
not like a phone.
She's going to have an accent. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I get so excited about the accent. Guys, yeah. British accent. It's so sexy.
It's excellent.
Oh, there we go.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
We're doing very well, thank you. We were hoping to get a hold of you, and then you weren't answering, so we thought, well...
Oh, I'm sorry. We thought we were booked at 15:15, and I've just seen it's 1 minute past, isn't it?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm terribly sorry.
You are 1 minute late.
That's okay. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
Good. So it's Rebecca Dakin, is it?
It is, yes, Rebecca
okay,
Dakin.
Wonderful. And so we got your book the other day, and I got to read a little bit of it, The Girlfriend Experience. And read us the full name there.
The Girlfriend Experience, and it says, My Fun and Adventurous Life as an Escort.
Fun and adventurous. How did you manage to do that, Rebecca?
How did I make it fun and adventurous?
Yes.
I specialized in the girlfriend experience, so I had a lot of longer dates, weekend dates. So I got to have lots of exciting experiences. I went up in a hot air balloon, got taken on boats.
Wow.
Used to go to the theater. I got taken shooting and visiting old castles and things. So yeah. Had a lot of exciting experiences.
Yeah, because Steph was asking what's glamorous about this. I guess now you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds really exciting, actually. I kind of want to do it.
Rebecca, what for those who don't know, including myself until I read the book, what is the girlfriend experience?
Well, the girlfriend experience, it does mean different things to different people. But for me, it meant I was a hired girlfriend. So, like I said, I'd specialize in the longer dates. We'd go away for weekends.
Oh, wow.
So, in effect, I was literally like a hired girlfriend, a hired companion for that period of time.
So wait a minute, my head's stirring here. A girlfriend, usually, you know, you have sex with your boyfriend and you make out. So did you, I mean, was that one of the things you had to sleep with them, right?
I didn't have to do anything I didn't want to do, but that's usually, as long as I was treated respectfully, that was inevitably that we'd usually have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Right, because I can only imagine a guy paying money, they expect that.
Yeah, especially a lot of money.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right?
Wow.
Sometimes you would spend more than one day with someone?
Yeah, sometimes I spend a few days with them or a whole weekend. I think the most time I've ever spent was about 5 days. And that can be quite tough to spend that amount of time with somebody.
Yeah, I guess. Wow. So, I mean, after a few days like this, would it happen where you actually like them? You sort of like get closer to them and you want to have more than just that?
And that never happened on my side. But some of the gentlemen that I used to see, the single ones, used to think there was something a little bit more there. And I think that's the danger of the girlfriend experience. If you're, you know, people forget that it's not a real it's a transaction, it's a business. Right. I'm there, I'm that girlfriend, I'll be there for all that time I'm paid for. But after that, it's over. And I think quite a lot of the single guys found that quite difficult to handle. And I discussed that quite a lot in the book.
Right.
I didn't want to be a complete cow, so they didn't want to see me again. But then when you're too nice, if they fall for you, it can obviously end up not being able to see each other anymore. So that's quite tough when it was somebody I genuinely really liked.
Right.
I just heard you say, though, single guys. Does that mean that some of the guys that would hire you as an escort were not single?
Yes, some of them were married.
Oh, my gosh.
40 boys.
Wow, that is, yeah, absolutely. And has this ever affected, like, how does this affect your relationship with, like, are you able to date also? I mean, you know, it's important for us all to have companions. Has this stopped you from being able to have, like, a real relationship?
No, when I was working as an escort, I had 3 long-term boyfriends, and they all knew what I did. And obviously, they didn't like it, but I was doing that when they met them, and I was very open with them about it. So, you know, they decided that they did want to go out with me. So that was part of the deal of going out with me, that I had to go out on these dates with these other men.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's quite tough for a boyfriend, but also it was tough for me because, you know, again, I've discussed this in the book, you know, when you're with a boyfriend, and for me to have to go out to work when I'm sat cuddling on the sofa with my boyfriend, I found quite difficult, you know, and especially he did as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I would find it to be difficult to be your boyfriend. I mean, you describe some of your experiences, and many of them have been steamy and very hot.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd want to be your boyfriend after that.
Well, I didn't go into graphic detail like I have done in the book to my boyfriend, so I think that made it a little bit easier for them. But my mum and dad knew what I did, and my mum's written her thoughts in a book about what she thought about having a daughter that was an escort, because I think that's always one of the questions. You know, how did your friends and family, what do they think, sort of thing. So I've actually gone and I went and asked my friends and my family to write their thoughts about me working as an escort in there. So I think that makes a good dynamic to the book.
Right.
Did this ruin your relationship with anybody, any friends or family?
No, I think I was always a bit of a wild child, and I think nothing really surprised anybody. So when I turned around one day and told my mum and friends that that's what I was going to do, they thought, oh God, here she goes again.
Yeah.
Another one of the crazy ideas. And I think my mum, I think she was hoping that, oh, just let her get on with it. She's going to come back with a tail between her legs in a month and get a proper job. And actually, to be fair, I didn't expect to enjoy it so much and to have the opportunity, you know, to have so many wonderful experiences, and I didn't think I was going to be doing it for so long either. So it was just I enjoyed it, met some really amazing, inspiring people, and I say got to have some experiences, Michelin star restaurants and fancy hotels that I would just never have had the opportunity to go to for
job. How did you even fall into this?
Well, I fell into it just because I'd got fed up working, earning minimum wage, just earning about £100 a week. And there's not many businesses that you can actually set up and run and without any initial outlay or any training or qualifications. So it's just my first job. I had, you know, £800 put in my hand in crisp £20 notes. And that for me at the time would have been about 2 months' work.
Wow.
In my low-paid job, so it was quite an easy decision for me to carry on doing it.
So you were seeking this out, right? I mean, in the book you say you saw an ad and then you wanted to see what it's about and so forth.
Yes, and I mean, and I'll be honest with you, when I first went into it, I did think it was just going to be like prostitution. And in my teenage years, I'd been very promiscuous. So I went into it expecting that that was probably just going to be turning up at hotels for an hour. And then when I found out that there was this whole different thing that the girlfriend experienced in these longer dates, and that actually men spent quite a lot of money on companionship, that really appealed to me. So I decided that that was how I was going to market myself, and I was very fortunate because the sort of men that I wanted to see did contact me, and I had some great dates, so it all kind of snowballed from there.
Right. Now, how long have you been doing this since you started?
And I don't do it anymore. I now work as a dating coach, but I worked as an escort for 9 or 10 years. Mm. And then the book really was closure on that side of my life. Right. And then it was thinking, right, well, what can I do now? What have I learned from this experience that I can help, you know, with a new business? And because I saw a lot of single men, a lot of recently divorced men, and they didn't really have a confidence with women, and they were just taking the easy option of booking escorts.
Right.
I decided to set up the business so of date coaching. So now I do Skype coaching, coach men, give them tips and help them with build the confidence with women, also help them find the sort of women that they desire and want to be with. Yeah. And also build them online dating profiles, because men aren't very good at that, are they? Let's face it.
Yeah, that's true.
So they know what sort of women they want, but their profiles are all wrong. So I help them with the photographs and write their profiles to help them attract the women that they want to attract.
That's cool. And, you know, I would think you're an authority on this, and, you know, you've seen a lot of men and that are not confident and don't have a lot of, they sometimes don't even dare approaching women, you know, and that's why they do this, like you said.
Yeah, approach anxiety is really common. So I just love helping people now. So the guys, I've worked with quite a few guys in the States, actually, and I just like to help build the confidence up, because I think women, we're really scary. And yeah. I think there's a lot of... we are very intimidating and scary. Yeah. And I think just a lot of guys just think, oh, God, they don't want to say the wrong thing, and so they just don't say anything at all. So it's really helping them have the self-belief in themselves and recognize what qualities they've got to offer in a relationship. And I do a lot on self-improvement, so helping them build their confidence up, and then they have the confidence to approach women.
Right. So you did it for 10 years and then you decided to get out of it. What was the reason there? You've had enough?
Well, it was basically, there's no age limit for this, for working as an escort. And I've got friends in my 40s and 50s, and no disrespect to them, but I just didn't want to be in my 40s and 50s. So it was, I either get out now and force myself to get out, or I'm just going to be one of those people that just keeps going on and on for years. And I just want to do the normal thing now and have a family and settle down. And I've done my wild bit now. So just, right. I'd like a normal life. And I just really want to be successful at something else. I'd like to say to my children, I don't want to say the only thing I was the high class escort. I want to be able to turn around and say, I've written a book and had that published. So that's one good achievement, but it's where I go from here. So the date coaching, at least I can say that, this is a business that I've set up and run that doesn't involve having sex with guys.
That's true. Right. Yeah. Well, you build on that experience,
It's all very amusing. At any point during, your run of being an escort, did you find yourself in any horrible predicaments, or were you ever hit, or just anything very just crazy that
I was never hit. No, I mean people only treat you disrespectfully if you let them, and I wouldn't get drunk, and I wouldn't take drugs or anything like that. So I always made sure I had my wits about me, and I had a lot of repeat clientele. But there was one uncomfortable experience when somebody told me they'd killed all their friends. Whoa. Which apparently was a joke. but I didn't find that funny.
Of course not.
He was quick. I was in two minds as to whether he was nervous or whether he was on drugs. I mean, when people, it's very difficult to tell the difference sometimes, because when people are nervous, they just ramble and babble and say stupid things. And I think it was probably that, nerves. But either way, I wasn't going to take the risk. It was just, no, you've made me feel uncomfortable now. So that was the end of that meeting there and then.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that you enjoyed the sexual encounters too, unlike maybe a prostitute or something that does it, a few times a day. And, because like you were treated like a girlfriend.
Exactly. And I found what was really nice is the guys that I saw did want it. It was just as important for them, for me to enjoy myself, as it was them. So I had, it wasn't just all wham, bam, they really wanted to make it special and pleasure me, which was really nice.
Yeah. You see, there's a lot of reasons to get into it, I guess, you get sex, you get money, you get wined and dined, and you make a lot of money in the process.
Yeah, so, and you get a gift or two as well, which is always handy, jewelry and clothes and things,
sign me up.
There you go.
Sign
yeah, exactly. You see, you're smarter than most people would give you credit for,
Yeah.
Well, this is cool. So do you, Rebecca, do you have a website that people can go to?
I do.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Good. It's called RebeccaDakin.com, and that's one B and two C's, and it's D-A-K-I-N. Okay. So that's my main website, and on there you can go through and have a look at my date coach. You can also go through to buy my book, which I ship worldwide, and you can also sign up for two free chapters that are downloadable if you want to have a little try and see if you like the book first.
Sounds good. And I see it's on Amazon, too. So The Girlfriend Experience, My Fun and Adventurous Life as an Escort by Rebecca Dakin. Rebecca, you've been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for all this and all the best with the book.
Thank you. But can I just say, please, can people buy it from me rather than Amazon, because they get a signed copy if they buy it from me.
Oh, okay. Oh. Forget about it. And besides, on Amazon, it says ships 1 to 3 months. So go to her website. You'll get it a lot sooner, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Thank
you very much. Nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you so much.
You too. All the best to you.
Yeah, have a good day. Thank you. Bye.
That was interesting.
Yeah. So I just find it hard to imagine having the family and kids and then telling them that you did this, you know, for a living.
Sure.
But she's okay with it. You know, I mean, to her, it's become a normal thing.
Well, that's the most important part. As long as you're okay with it, you know, then why not?
The hell with the rest of the world, right?
Yeah. Of course, you know, who cares what other people think? It doesn't affect them. It only affects you.
That's true.
But still, I mean, the idea of it sounds amazing. Up until the fact that, you know, these guys would expect some kind of physical...
Right.
You know, interactions, sex, kissing, whatever it may be. Yeah. And that's where I'd get uncomfortable.
Yeah, because you have to be attracted to the guy.
I can't make out with a guy that's paying me. I would automatically feel like, you know, I can't do it.
I don't know if you got all the gifts and everything. I mean, that's what you were saying, you know. Imagine diamond rings and trips.
So tempting.
And all you have to do is be there, you know.
Right.
I'm not trying to convince you.
Never say never, right?
I'm just trying to understand her and where she came from. But
no, it's really interesting. I plan on reading this book for sure.
Yeah, I mean, she really describes some experiences. It's written like a diary, or parts of it are. And
very cool.
Yeah, it's pretty steamy stuff.
Huh.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, thank you so much. And... yeah, I mean, you know, I admire everybody that writes a book. You know, it's not easy, man.
Oh, no, not at all. Writing? I've given it a try.
Yeah.
Holy crap, do I suck. I have no patience for it. I have way too much. I'm just ADD, you know?
Yeah.
Way too much going on and stirring up in my head that I can't focus. Like, I can get 5 pages done and then I have to go do something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Then get someone to help you, you know?
Yeah,
maybe
that's
they
true.
Can do, like, the outline for you and stuff, you know?
Because
I know some people actually write books, but they're not the ones that write it,
right.
You know?
They're always rough drafts, before, you know? I mean, they go through so many edits before they're actually published.
Yeah, you know, or you hire someone that you tell your story to, and then they write it for you.
Yeah,
know?
But what the heck would I write about? I have nothing... I have nothing to write about.
Well, you're still young. You know, you'll have a lot of experiences, I'm sure.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I had the money, even if I would go to an escort. You know, it just doesn't feel right.
That is what where
like
I
pretend,
started to get pissed off.
Yeah.
Is when I heard that, you know, she had mentioned, well, when, you know, the single guys, meaning that obviously there are guys that, you know, hire escorts that are married or in relationships or whatever. And you know what? That's what makes me never want to marry. That's what makes me never want to even commit to a relationship. Because guys are so, I mean, no matter what, they get tempted. Mm. You know, they're always hunting. You go to a gym, like, because I just joined the gym. Uh-huh. All I can do is, like, notice all these guys, just they're all, like, hunting.
Uh-huh.
It's like, no matter what, you can't be content. Why do you have to hunt? Why do you have to stare at a zillion chicks?
Because it's like, you know, it's an innate, it's like inbred in us as men, you know, that's part of the DNA.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, I mean, nature has made us that way, so we will reproduce.
Yeah. You know what, though? And here's the other thing. I'm not that high maintenance. You can look all you want, but if you're going to go making out, you know, or having sex with another chick, sayonara, you know, peace out. Holy crap. Or even go to the extent of hiring an escort, paying money for someone's presence.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would, like, kill myself if I found out, you know, that somebody I was dating or, you know, married, God forbid, was doing that.
Yeah. But you know what? Women do that, too, obviously, you know. And I mean, it's good that we were talking about this because I just ran into this clip from Joy Behar.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, she has a co-host there. She's not there. But she's talking to this doctor about... Secret Lives of Wives. And it, they're asking, can cheating save a marriage? So let's listen to this. It's about a minute or two.
Please.
And see what they're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Can cheating save a marriage? Come on, it's loading now.
Fascinating. There are people like this Indiana grandmom. She's got three grandkids, and she says, yeah, cheating's the way. So she's happily married, she says, and she's having, you know, flings here and there, having affairs, having sex with guys and, you know, numerous guys. Do you find that that is more of a norm in relationships or a norm in healthy relationships?
It's not a norm in healthy relationships. Listen, in my research of over 300 women, 4 out of 10 married women said that they were physically cheating. But what we were able to do was look at the 30% of women, which is a small number of women who are happily married, and see what they were doing differently than women who were in so-called unhappy or failed marriages. So the idea of parceling yourself out and bringing your intimacy to many others, you know, we get married because we want a primary companionship, mm-hmm. a primary intimacy. And too often people shoot off into other stratospheres before having the ability or knowing how to bring it back home and have those conversations and that information to develop something that's rich and special over many, many years, which many people are able to do successfully.
Iris, I know you said you're not a judge, you're a journalist, but did you blush when you talked to some of these women and hear about what they've been doing?
You know, we've been hearing about the secret lives of husbands for centuries. Mm. And, I, you know, we're in the year 2011. And to think that people live with one person under one roof for the rest of their lives and never have lust in their heart or other places is just a myth. You know?
But wait a second. Hold on. Lust, let me challenge you on that, because that's taking the lowest common denominator theory. You're saying because men have traditionally been the cheaters, it's okay for wives to be the cheaters. But the question is, what leads you to a healthy, good relationship?
I'm sorry that that was misinterpreted. I think that it's having your own life and your own sense of purpose and passion outside of your relationship. I am not saying that it's okay to cheat. I do not think that cheating leads to happily ever after or longevity. I'm just saying it's out there. And I know from my own interviews in The Secret Lives of Wives that healthy marriages, where there is infidelity, some couples can forge through that and push to cleaner, better, deeper communication. And I interviewed a woman whose husband was sleeping with her best friend, and she forgave him and moved on. And I can honestly say right now, this couple is one of the happiest marriages I portrayed.
Well, right, that's good. I don't think I'm that big a person. I'd be slapping him silly.
Amen, sister, to that. Well, I was going to say, like, I agree with what the one lady said in regards to, like, you know, kind of not necessarily cheating, but agreeing to have sex with another partner just to test yourself.
Hold on. Sorry about this. Okay, so go on.
Just to see, you know, to test yourself and, you know, how you feel afterwards, you know, if after you have, you know, sleep with another person, you're feeling like, no, I want my companion, I want my husband, then yeah, it brought you guys closer.
Right.
But if you're feeling something else, then obviously you guys should end that.
But plus, you know, I mean, your partner may not like this, so it's not a way to do it, you know, I mean. You know, I mean, you go cheating and then you go to your spouse. Oh, yeah, I did that to save the marriage. You know, I mean, that's bullshit.
No. Communication is key. You must communicate before doing any of that crap. If you don't, then you are cheating. And cheating is just not cool.
Yeah.
There are no
But that's what they were talking about. They were talking about cheating, not discussing it beforehand.
I don't think
anybody. I mean, do you think you'd be able to discuss it with a guy and he'd say, yeah, go ahead, do it?
No. I think if somebody you truly love and you're in a relationship with or got, you know, married and you're feeling, you know, like you don't, things just, it's just bland, you know, and no matter what you guys do to help, it just hasn't, you just feel like you need a break from it.
Right.
I can't remember what the movie was. There was a movie recently about this, like where a marriage couple actually, you know, said, okay, they agreed then.
Last night. Remember we were talking about that. Yeah.
Oh, well, kind of, sort of, yeah. There's another one, though. I can't think of it. And they agreed.
Hall Pass.
Yes. Yeah.
We saw that the other
day. You're on it. I love it. Sam is on it with his movie.
I am.
Yeah. So they kind of, you know, because the in that case, the wife loved her husband so much that she said, you know what? Do what you have to do. If that, you know, do what you have to do and see if it helps. And right. At the end of the day, it just brought them closer because he did what he had to do and it wasn't really much that he did anyway, you know?
Right. Yeah. Which, it's always like that in the movies, you know?
Right, but communication beforehand. I think if you discuss it and your husband or wife loves you so much that they're willing to let you explore and do what you have to do for, you know, a week or two or a month or whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that.
I know. I'd be like, sayonara! It takes a strong person, but, you know, it happens.
Strong or stupid, you know?
A stupid
to let
person.
Your spouse go and talk you into this, you know?
Yeah, but it's either that, you know, you're basically saying, you know, bye forever, or giving them a chance and hoping for the best. I don't know.
You're right. They'll probably find something better. I mean, because if you do it by the time your sex is stale and boring, you know, and then you're going to find someone and it's exciting with them. You're not going to go back to your spouse.
I guess. I don't know. That's a good question. I have a question, though, in regards to sex. Like, how soon, like, how long are you guys together in a relationship or, you know, marriage before it gets starts to get stale? Like, what's normal? Like, are we talking like a few months and then it gets stale?
I think it varies. You know, it depends on who it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know that in the past, I've had some relationships where I got bored, you know, a few months later.
Mm-hmm.
And some that, you know, it takes years before you get bored, you know.
And but why is that, though? Is that because of the chemistry that you guys have, or you're just doing funky things in bed?
No, I think it's the chemistry and stuff, you know. It's, it's all about the chemistry, how you get along. And, you know, some people have great chemistry in bed, and then they don't get along once they're out of bed, you know?
Yeah, there are so many variables, you know, to making a successful relationship work out.
Yeah, it's not easy, man. There's too many forces pulling on you when you're in a relationship. But like they mentioned here, you know, you find someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with, you know, so you're not alone, you know, so you have a specific special person. And I know you're like,
you saw my face.
You're rolling your eyes.
Because like, well, it's just the whole like idea of finding someone for the rest of your life. Like,
right.
I just, you know, I mean, it happened more so back in the day than it does now. Yeah. Now it's like, you know, people get married and then divorce within 5 years. I just feel like people change a lot. And nowadays people, you know, we change, but most people now are not willing to compromise as much.
Right.
So that's why there are so many divorces, because we're not willing to work with each other, you know?
Yeah. But also the fact that I don't think marriage necessarily has to be for the rest of your life, you know? What if you want to spend 20 years with someone and then you realize, you know what? What? I mean,
well,
who says marriage has to be for life?
No,
you know?
Well, the priest when you get married. But
well,
what is the point of even getting married then, Sam? You can live together and be like exclusive and in a.
Well, that's what I say. I mean, I don't condone really. I mean, not condone, but I don't really promote marriage unless you want to have family with kids and everything.
Sure.
Otherwise, yeah, why get married? What's the point?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There we go. Then we agree on that, because I'm thinking like, you know, if I'm getting married to somebody, I'm expecting to be with them for the rest of my life. You can't control what happens in the future, obviously.
Right.
And if things...
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, so you plan on it, but then a few years later, you realize, you know what? I can't live with this person anymore.
Yeah.
You know? I need something else.
Yeah. But I would never get married with the intentions of like, oh, I'm not going to be with this person forever.
Yeah, I know.
In 10 years, it's not going to work out and I'm going to get divorced. That's what I'll do.
It's just that you shouldn't feel bad if you realize later that, you know, your marriage is not working.
Oh, no, I totally agree. Yeah. I know people who are in marriages and they're not happy. And I'm just thinking, what is the point of that? Like, what is the point of your unhappiness?
Right.
Get out of it, you know?
It is, but it's easier to say because some people, it's just they're more comfortable financially, emotionally, whatever. Where they
financially is like a big factor,
change.
I think, you know, especially living in the same place. You have to move out on your own. Your whole lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
I get that. At the same time, like I'm pro change. You know, I'm all about change if it's going to make you a better person and not keep you in this bubble. The only reason why a lot of married couples that are unhappy stay together is because of fear. You know, they have fear, and you can't even grow as a person if you don't pursue those fears. So.
Right, yeah. And that happens not only to unhappy people, but even abused people that stay in the situation and not leave, you know.
Yeah, I even kind of had a similar experience where I was trapped in a relationship, and I, you know, kept trying to get out, but I just kept getting, you know, pulled back in.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult, but, you know, you have to do it.
Just
do it. Do it.
Well, so much for relationships for today. I wanted to ask you, did you hear about in Ohio that all these wild animals were released and Yeah, and
no,
they shut down schools. They put up like signs all over town, and I don't know what city in Ohio is this. It doesn't.
Wild animals released from where?
Okay, what happened is this. This man had a farm with exotic animals, like about 50 lions and bears and shit like that, right?
Okay.
So
like that.
Yeah. So apparently they all escaped and you know, and just moved toward town. Now what happens is I guess they figured out that he released them and then killed himself, but nobody knows why.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So people got pretty scared, and they had to the police had to shoot them down, some of the animals.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, I mean, if they're that's horrible, but
yeah.
If they're wild animals, you know, and I mean bears and lions, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I would not shoot them, but I would capture them and put them where, you know, in a zoo or somewhere in somewhere where I mean I do not like the fact that they killed them.
Yeah. I don't know how many of them they actually killed, you know. I mean,
that
they
ticks me off.
No, they didn't kill a lot of them.
I hope
mean,
not.
And even if they shot them, let me see. I don't even know. They're saying all but three animals have been accounted for. So I don't think that they actually killed them. But maybe they were shooting them with tranquilizer guns or something.
Oh, yeah. Just to get them down so that they can, you know, get them in their hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's very dangerous. You don't want your kids walking down the street and then, can you imagine walking down the street and then a giant lion is staring at you in your face?
I know. They were showing like a bear inside a store. I saw that on the on TV, a little bear.
What?
Yeah, in the store.
A little bear. Oh, that's
kind of
cool.
Yeah, a little bear.
I will never, you know, what they say is like to scare a bear, you have to scare them. I mean, you literally have to go crazy, like with your hands up and your legs apart and like act like you're a huge animal and just, ah! So I was in New Hampshire performing Shakespeare one summer, and it's just me and one of my roommates, and we're just sitting outside. It's just gorgeous in New Hampshire, all these mountains, and it's just beautiful. We're laying there looking at the sky, just looking at the stars. And no joke, bears can be very quiet, first of all. I just look right up, and within like 15, 20 feet of me is a bear.
Wow.
And he's just walking across, and I tap my friend. We didn't even know. And I'm like, what do we do? And he was ready to scream bloody murder, and we ran back into the house.
How big was the bear?
A big, I mean, not, we're not talking huge, but not a tiny little baby bear. I mean.
Was it taller than you?
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. Big enough to like
that's
kill me.
Scary.
Oh, we were terrified.
Yeah.
And you know, we usually don't lock our doors in this, you know, New Hampshire area because it's so isolated. It's a very small resort. But from that day on, we were locking them because we thought, what if a bear came into our house?
I know.
You don't know. Oof.
Wow.
Terrifying.
Yeah. I know.
But I'm too scared to go crazy. Like if I see a bear and then go crazy, I feel like that would make it worse. But you're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
It scares them away.
I know. But yeah, I just was assumed not run into them at all.
Yeah. Well, that would be the ideal situation.
Yeah.
But you just never know.
Yeah.
Especially in the mountains.
It's Zanesville, Ohio, wherever that is.
Okay. Yeah. Zanesville. Yeah. Interesting. Well, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, I know. It is wild, no pun intended, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wild animals.
Yeah. I like it. Woo. I'm so queasy today.
Yeah.
The simple, the little jokes. Wild. Oh.
Yeah. Now, this is not so funny. I don't know if you heard of this, but in Philadelphia, these four mentally disabled people were found locked in a boiler room.
What?
Yeah. And when they were discovered, they're saying there's still stench of feces and urine because, you know, not only did they not eat, they were starved, but, you know, they all had to go to the bathroom in this little dark room.
Yeah, well, they probably pissed their pants.
Pissed and shit in there and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
And, so a few people were arrested, charged with kidnapping, assault, burglary, and other offenses.
How long were they in this boiler room?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I think a few good days. You know, I can't imagine it would be too long because they would have starved to death, you know?
And who would do that to poor elderly people?
Well, they're saying that some people did this hoping to get their Social Security checks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Unbelievable.
And,
crazy people.
Yeah.
That's sick. That is sick. What would you do? You know, I mean, what?
Yeah.
You can never prepare yourself for these crazy situations. And, like, it seems like on the news, left and right, there's just one after the other of, like, right. people get the salon, you know, last week, the right. hair salon, like, you know, crazy ex killed, you know, mm-hmm. 8 people in yeah. the salon. I mean, it's like, what in the world? Mm-hmm. It's so bizarre.
Yeah. I know people want to try and, you know, and I don't know. I mean, this is like, I think, money driven. But
that one definitely is, yeah. yes.
But people are crazy, you know. I mean, what can you say? You know, you just have to stay sane and surround yourself with sane people.
Yeah, it's true. You are, you know, I always say, like, you attract what you are.
Yeah.
And you know, become who you hang out with in a way, you know. Whoever
I suppose,
you hang out with,
yeah.
you're very similar to them usually. Yeah.
That's true. There's a lot of influence, especially when you're young, mm-hmm. like teenagers. Yeah.
yeah.
All right. Well, this is the end of the show. And we will not be here tomorrow. I have some business to attend.
Yes.
But we'll see you all tomorrow. Have a great or Friday.
Yes.
See you,
see you Friday.
You have been listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only right here on LA Talk Radio. If you have a question for one of our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about starting your very own talk radio show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Steph in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.